Welcome to session 105 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started the series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 15th of April. Today we'll be looking at 2 Kings 15 to 17 and Psalm 105. But so far in 1st and 2nd Kings, we've read through Solomon's reign, the splitting of the kingdom, and the era of kings and prophets. Solomon's reign began with eliminating his rivals. He then asked God for wisdom, which led to peace and prosperity in Israel. Solomon built the temple and his palace, but disobeyed God by accumulating wealth, horses, and marrying foreign wives, leading to idol worship. God told Solomon his kingdom would be divided after his death. Israel in the north under Jeroboam, and Judah in the south under Rehoboam. Jeroboam led the northern tribes and worshipped other gods, and after Jeroboam, leaders like Nadab, Bashar, Elah, Zimri, Omri, and Ahab followed in Israel, all doing evil. In Judah, Rehoboam also did evil, as did his son Abishan. Then came Asa, who returned the people to God, but relied on Syria instead of God when attacked. He was replaced by his son Jehoshaphat. The story then shifted to Elijah, a prophet who condemned Ahab for idolatry and predicted a drought. Elijah performed miracles, defeated Baal's prophets, and fled from Jezebel. He met God, anointed new leaders, and chose Elisha as his successor. We read as Elijah was taken to heaven, and Elijah stepped up to fill his place. We saw Elijah performing many of the miracles that Elijah had done. Syria started warring against Israel. They tried to capture Elijah, so he couldn't help Israel, but he blinded them. They then seized the capital Samaria, and the people turned to cannibalism, as was predicted back in Deuteronomy 28, verse 53. But God was still in control, and the siege was lifted. Elijah then visited the king of Syria to predict his death and saw the terrible things that the new king Hazael would do to Israel. This then started the section of the book focused on Israel's journey to exile. Elijah anoints Jehu as king of the north, who proceeds to kill Joram, king of Israel, Ahaziah, king of Judah, and Jezebel, and all the Baal worshippers in Israel. In Judah, Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, led wickedly before one of Ahaziah's sons, Joash, was old enough to reclaim the throne. Then yesterday, we read as Joash sought to rebuild the temple, only to take all of the wealth of the temple and give it to Hazael to stop Syria from attacking. Hazael and the northern kings waged war against each other. After Hazael died, Jehoash, king of Israel, won three battles against his son Ben-Hadad. In Judah, Joash died and his son Amaziah led the people well, but picked a fight with Jehoash, king of Israel, and Jerusalem was sacked. Amaziah was murdered and replaced by his son Azariah. So let's jump in with today's reading, 2 Kings 15 to 17. Yesterday we read how in Judah Amaziah served God well, but then got overconfident, picked a fight with Israel and got defeated. Because of this, some of his servants killed him, replaced him with his son Azariah. Meanwhile in Israel, Jeroboam was king, and though he was evil, God was using him to build up Israel once again. Today we read how Azariah was a good king in Judah, but didn't remove the cultic places of worship, and God struck him with leprosy. Azariah's son Jotham did most of the leading of the kingdom for his father. Next we move over to Israel and get a load of kings, one after the other. This is almost the end of the kingdom of Israel, and we see how it becomes more and more chaotic towards the end. More and more of the kings end up being killed off and replaced by other people. After Jeroboam comes his son Zechariah. Zechariah was killed and replaced by a man called Shalom. Shalom reigned 1 month before he was killed by Menahem, who reigned for 10 years. During Menahem's reign, we met the Assyrians. These guys are serious. As we will see, they are much more dangerous than any of the other enemies the people of God have faced so far. Menahem pays the king of Assyria a serious amount of silver to help him secure his reign over Israel. After Menahem comes his son Pekahiah, who reigned 2 years before being killed by one of his officers, Pekah. Pekah reigned 20 years, and it is in his reign we see the Syrians start doing some serious damage to Israel. They attack Israel and capture some major areas, including the entire land of the tribe of Naphtali. Israel has now lost one entire tribe. It's a terrifying moment for Israel. Pekah is murdered and replaced with Hoshea. Jumping back to Judah, Jotham is now properly king, though he's been ruling under his father before. Jotham does good and leads the people well. After Jotham comes Ahaz, who might be the worst king Judah has ever had. He leads the people in worship to other gods, and he introduces child sacrifice, sacrificing his own child. The kings of Syria and Israel join up to fight him, but Ahaz is able to stop and hold them off. He then raises the temple for all its riches and sends them to the king of Assyria to ask for help. The king of Assyria uses this as a great opportunity to claim some land from the Syrians, taking the city of Damascus. Ahaz meets the king of Assyria there and sees the design of an altar he likes. He sends the designs back to priests in Judah and gets them to replace the main altar in God's temple with this new one. He then removes a lot of the items from the temple and replaces them with bits he likes. Ahaz is ruining God's temple, the holy place where God dwells. As we're reading how Israel is slowly getting destroyed because it's turned away from God, we're also seeing Judah begin to do the same. This isn't good. Jumping back to Israel one last time, Hoshea is now king, but he's basically a puppet for Assyria. The king of Assyria catches wind that Hoshea might be doing deals with Egypt to overthrow Assyria, and the Assyrians come down hard. They capture Hoshea and lock him up. They then raid all of Israel and carry the people into exile. The kingdom of Israel no longer exists. It's finally been destroyed. And the writer leaves us with no doubt why this happened. This occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. That's 2 Kings 17, verse 7. The Israelites had repeatedly sinned against God. They had worshipped idols and other gods, and God had tried to warn them. Back when Moses led them, he warned them of what would happen if they ever turned from God. And even since then, God has sent prophet after prophet to warn the Israelites to turn back and follow him. We then read of how the Assyrians repopulate the land with people from other nations. God sends lions to attack those people because they are not living according to his ways. The Assyrians send one of the exiled priests back to Israel to teach these new people how to live. And it kind of works. These new people learn to fear the God of Israel, but they also continue to worship their own gods. Over half the people of God have been taken into slavery. All we are left with is those in the kingdom of Judah. But we've seen them also begin to turn away from God. Will they be able to avoid the same fate as Israel? That's 2 Kings 15 to 17. Let's look at Psalm 105. This psalm is not attributed to anyone and falls into the category of praise psalm. It recounts Israel's history from the covenant made with Abraham through to God providing for the people in the wilderness. Here's a summary of the structure, but I would recommend checking out the written version of this commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself. We start with verse 1 to 6, a call to give thanks. Verses 7 to 15, recounting God's covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Verses 16 to 22, the story of Joseph. Verses 23 to 38, Israel's time in Egypt. And then verses 39 to 45, God's provision in the wilderness. And Psalm starts with a call to give thanks to the Lord for his works. They tell others to give thanks, sing, glory, seek and remember. God is worthy of their praise and they should seek God's presence continually, remembering all that he has done. And the psalmist then specifies who they are speaking to, the Israelites, offspring of Abraham and Jacob. The psalmist then turns to the covenant God made with his people forever, a covenant made with Abraham, promised to Isaac and confirmed with Jacob. A covenant saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. During this time, with this small family had no land, they wandered around from nation to nation. God's protection was over them. Then we move to the story of Joseph. There was a famine in the land, but God has sent Joseph to Egypt ahead of his family. Initially, it was as a slave and a prisoner, but as Joseph's words as a prophet proved themselves, he was freed from slavery and made to rule over Egypt. Then the rest of the family came to Egypt and God made them fruitful. They grew many and strong and the Egyptians turned against them. So God sent Moses and Aaron to perform many miracles, including darkness during the day, waters turning into blood, swarms of frogs and flies, hail, locusts and the death of the firstborn. Eventually, Egypt was so happy to see the Israelites gone that they sent them off with silver and gold. Now, in this wilderness, God led his people with pillars of cloud and fire. He provided food and water for them all because of his initial promise to Abraham. God brought his people out of Egypt with joy and singing and brought them into their promised land as long as they remained faithful to him. The lesson of this psalm is clear. Look how faithful and generous God has been with his people in the past. He will do the same again as long as they remain faithful to him.